Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug free sponsorship foundation in the world. And I'm saying that because I'm dead serious about this. And if you are a drug free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on with both your 2 feet, you have 2 feet, and a vehicle to drive your goals, probably one of them old chuck wagons, but who cares? Check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk to that Desiree Fletcher lady and see what she's got to say. Hey, Des.
Hey, Kaylin. Hey, did we miss, like, a Mack truck through ice cream, or did I just miss that?
No. That Mack truck ran me over, and my brain's been scrambled ever since. Tell you what.
All right, I didn't know if it was just me or I, you know, I feel like I was in the backyard of the Clampets there for a second, but
hey, you know that's creative. I like it.
We got Cletus, we got Melinda, we got all other kind of vittles cooking in the backyard if you want.
Vittles cooking, that's right, and you know what kind they are? Chocolate.
Snickerdoodles.
So anyway, everyone, welcome to P4P Real Talk. It's our Tuesday night,
howdy.
Beverly Hillbilly edition. Welcome. Howdy.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have Ellie Mae, but we do have a Melinda with us tonight. as you guys recall, Melinda Spencer, she's our sister P4P podcaster. She's got Fit Talk with Melinda, and tonight she's going to be doing some Real Talk with Desiree and Kaylin. Just call me Jed Patterson Clampett. And I tell you what, and she's got a whole lot of exciting stuff going on, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her to introduce herself to all of you in listener land.
All right. I'm not going to do as good of an introduction as Kaylin just did, but hello, everyone. Awesome to be on Real Talk tonight. I'm Melinda Spencer. As they said, I run Fit Talk with Melinda, which is a sister P4P show. I'm also a WMBF pro bikini and figure girl. Haven't competed in almost 2 years now. Also a power lifter, Spartan racer, CrossFit athlete, among a lot of other things. So I'm happy to be on talking to you guys tonight.
Awesome. And we are happy to have you. Oh, my gosh. And we have already got some questions coming in from listeners. And listeners that remember you, Melinda. We have Don and
like
Jamie,
questions.
And they want to know. Yeah. They want to know if you're going to be doing any more TV shows.
Oh, that's a good question. So, not right now. So, I did Broken Skull Ranch, and then I went on to actually get to the finals of being on Beastmaster, the Ultimate Beastmaster, which is one of Netflix's first reality-type athletic shows. And I made it to the finals on that to the point where we were scheduling plane flights. And I think I kind of ruined that for myself because I kept pushing them to get me dates because I had to get out of work and make sure I had everything taken care of, and they were eventually like, this isn't going to work out for this time, but keep us in mind for the next show, and I didn't apply next time around just because I have so much going on right now, so I think for the meantime, I will not be doing any more shows, but I'm hoping that there are other opportunities that come up in the future for me.
Well, let's take a step back and tell us a little bit about what this particular reality show was about and how you go about finding these opportunities and what was the application process like?
Yeah, so as far as I know, this show, which I'm not even sure, to be honest, and this is terrible to say, I'm not sure if the first season aired yet. If it hasn't, it should be in the works. So the Ultimate Beastmaster is almost a mix between like a Broken Skull Ranch and a Ninja Warrior, where what they wanted to do, and I'm not sure if this is what is actually airing or if this was the thought at the time, but they wanted to make teams from all around the world. So the United States would have a team, you know, China would have a team, Europe would have a team of men and women, and they'd compete in like this giant football stadium worth of like athletic obstacles. as far as what was described to me. So I didn't actually seek out the show. The producer or the company that was working on getting contestants for this show was the same company that worked with Broken Skull Ranch. So they contacted me and said, we want you to apply for this, which is how I found out for it. And then I applied for it. And I did. I got pretty far in the process, like I said, but it didn't end up working out at the end. But I'm one of those people, I'm like, everything happens for a reason. And it was a very bad time for me to leave home anyway. So it was probably for the better, even though it's always an exciting experience to get contacted and to possibly do something like this. The application, it starts with an online application. And then if they want you from there, they'll contact you. You usually then go into Skype interviews. You usually have to turn in some sort of a video. This video that I turned in had to just show, like, a certain number of pull-ups, push-ups, and jump roping and stuff that I could do so they know I could easily get through some of the obstacles. And then from there, I think they just pick people based on their scheduling and when they can leave. This show wanted me out there for 9-plus days, which was going to be tough on me, so... maybe another time. It's always another
time. Definitely. Well, follow-up question to that is, do you think that you'll stick to reality shows, or do you see pursuing acting in, you know, either television or movies or whatever in your future?
Oh, my God, definitely not. the reality show was fun. Broken Skull Ranch, the action that you see in the show is not scripted. Like, we are truly doing what it looks like we're doing on the screen. But what they have us saying isn't always 100% what we would normally say. They kind of script it and stuff like that. And I am terrible at acting. I was terrible at that. I'm definitely not in the acting scene at all. And it's not something that I've ever been truly interested in. I went out there as like more of a, this is a once in a lifetime experience and I don't have to talk much on film. So it'll be perfect for me. So definitely not something I see myself doing in the future, but it was fun while it lasted that week when I was out there.
Awesome. Well, our listeners think that you could definitely do both. So you have that going for you out there in your little fan base. Bill wants to know, we're gonna switch subtopics here for a second. Bill wants to know how you choose your photographers for your shoots. He's heard horror stories and doesn't want his daughter taken advantage of. So he's looking for any advice you have in choosing or working with photographers.
That's a great point. And on that point, I actually wrote an article for a fitness magazine on picking photographers. So I'll have to post that on my page afterwards.
Yes, please.
But, yeah, so I was very lucky I started out with someone who I knew through my trainer at the time. They were close, and this person had also worked for the Diet Doc and Dr. Joe as a trainer himself and was in the natural bodybuilding world and shot a bunch of bodybuilding shows. So when I entered into kind of fitness photography, he was my first photographer, and I trusted him. I knew him as far as so many people had worked with him before and had great responses to him. So it was an easy first shoot for me. What I suggest, and that kind of from there, other people that I worked with I didn't know as well, but there was a couple things that I always do when picking a photographer. You have to go with your first instincts. So when you contact a photographer, everything should always be done in a professional format. The photographer should have a website. There's hardly any photographers out there right now that do not have a website that do everything through Facebook. So if a photographer is strictly on Facebook, that's a little bit sketchy to me. Most professional photographers don't run their business that way. Also, they should have portfolios of work, at least online, that they can show you. And you never go to a shoot alone. So, example,
amen.
I got contacted by a photography company. I didn't know them. They were very professional when they contacted me. They had a website. Everything looked great to me. But I was doing a shoot in another state. Normally, I always have my husband go with me to everything, so you never go to a shoot alone, ever, especially if you don't know the photographer. So that's step one. But I was forced to go to a shoot alone because I wasn't traveling with anyone that I knew. So I drove up to the house. I immediately took a picture of the house, took a picture of my GPS of where I was, sent that to my husband. And when I was walking into the home, I was on my cell phone with an earpiece in, so that if I felt awkward or something felt off, I had immediate communication when I was walking into the home that I was going to do the photo shoot in. And 99% of the time, everything is going to be perfectly fine and there's going to be no issues. But it's that 1% of you don't know what's going to happen. And you hear horror stories out there of things happening, especially to women going into places alone or unknown, or someone contacted them online to do something and it turned out not to be, you know, all the Craigslist horror mm-hmm. stories and things like that. So just extra precautions, and I felt comfortable and everything went great, and the guys were super friendly, and there was a ton of other females in the house, so I felt right at home and everything was fine. But, you know, do they have a website? How did they contact you? Were they professional about it? Did anything seem off? Because first instincts are always right. And then to never go to something alone, because at the end of the day, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Nice. All great advice there. Yep. And, you know, and if, you know, just to tag on to that, if you don't have an agent, those are all great steps. If you do have an agent, a lot of times they will do that vetting for you. But still,
yep.
everything Melinda listed are all great steps for you to follow. So a lot of good information to take into consideration. And to follow up on that question a little bit, Luke wants to know if you have a makeup artist that follows you to your different shoots, or do the photogs or the, you know, the people coordinating the photo shoots provide hair and makeup for you?
So two photographers that I had worked with provided hair and makeup. So they had a professional makeup artist that kind of works with that photographer specifically. They'll be at their studio location or travel with them, and they will do their client's makeup. So that's kind of really nice. A few of the other photographers I work with do not have that option. So I do have a specific, I have two options. If you don't know a makeup artist in the area, or you don't have a close friend that's really good at doing makeup, I highly suggest going to MAC Makeup, which are in a lot of malls around the U.S. I've never gone wrong with MAC because they're very used to doing stage makeup and makeup for photography. So they tend to know lighting and what looks good. I have a friend, Jenny, who works at she owns a local salon, so she's been awesome when I've been in a pinch to come over my house and do my makeup, but she owns a business.
Oh, wow.
She's not always available, but she's been great in a pinch. She's done a lot of my show makeup. So kind of to back up, it's been both ways. I've gone to MAC in a pinch, and then there's been some photographers that have been great and offered makeup services. And then I have friends. So I feel like I've been covered everywhere I've gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quick question before we go to the next one, because you brought up something that I think it needs to be. Like, if they have a specific look, I think that needs to be brought up ahead of time, right? So you know what you're supposed to be bringing.
Yeah, the photographer. It depends. So a lot of photo shoots, if you're not being like casted for something in a magazine or a specific thing that the photographer wants you for, if you're just booking a shoot because you want some pictures for something, usually the photographer will ask you what you want the look to be, and then you go based on that. So there should be another thing when picking a photographer. There should be a lot of communication back and forth about what you're trying to do ahead of time.
Yes.
So that you're not wasting time when you get to the shoot trying to figure it out. I think the majority of photo shoots I've done, the photographer has kind of let me pick my own look, which has been easier, except for one that I did. It wanted an all-natural look that they did for me, like almost look like I didn't have any makeup on at all, but that stuff should all be ironed out before you even get to the shoot.
Because lighting and everything else, that's a lot of work. Wow, you probably sat for a while.
Yeah, for what, for the makeup?
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes, I don't know, like probably about an hour for good makeup. It can 30 to 45 minutes, maybe, depending on if you have something lighter done. But, yeah, you're sitting in a chair for a little bit before you get ready for these things.
Definitely a lot of work in going into being beautiful, that's for sure. I mean, you have your own beautiful look, but then to make it, you know, fit to someone else's perception, it's never as easy as it seems. Yeah, and that can take a long time for a photo shoot, is adjusting the lighting, especially if you're moving scenes. But anyway, another time, another show for all of those beats. switching gears a little bit. We're going to jump back
like
to your reality, like a Mack truck, Kaylin, through ice cream, traveling back in time now to Melinda's reality days. Tyler wants to know how much of your interviews were left on the cutting room floor and what was considered usable in that whole process.
Much. Yeah. To be honest, for this type of show, because it was less like a real world where we were living in a house together. It was a one-time, one-hour show with a bunch of girls on it. There wasn't a lot that they didn't put in. They had to do a bunch of retakes because we kept screwing up. And, of course, like I said, I am not that good in front of the camera, especially, like, trying to say certain things. So, and I'm just, like, I was laughing, and the guy that was trying to run my section and help me out, he looked like Jose Canseco, or am I pronouncing his name right? You know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
yeah,
you are.
Like,
yep,
I couldn't
you got
even
it.
Concentrate because we kept laughing about that, and I'm like, oh my God. But my stuff was pretty much straightforward. Everything that I said, like behind the scenes and on camera, was pretty much aired, except for me saying the same thing over and over and over again because I kept laughing and looking ridiculous. But I kept it pretty clean. Like, I don't like to shit talk. I feel like that makes you look bad as a person, especially like me. I went out the first round. So if I went in being like, I'm going to kick this bitch's ass, what now? And I sleep on national television, I'm going to look like an idiot. So I tried to stay away from making myself sound like a loser on national television. So they pretty much aired exactly what I said. There wasn't that much left out for me.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go find this and watch this now. I haven't to date, but now I've got to get this done. To tag on to that, Brent wants to know how much muscle mass you lost doing so much active cardio for the shows.
For reality show or, like, mm-hmm. bodybuilding shows?
Yes, for the reality shows.
Yeah, I didn't train specifically to go out there. I went out there with how I train currently. So I didn't really – I went into the show at my stage weight for figure competitions, and that was just to look a certain way on film. Like, I wanted to look a certain way on national television. So I went in at like, my stage weight for figure, but it wasn't because I was dropping muscle mass because of doing cardio for the show. I mean, the show is a mixture between cardio and strength and I had trained CrossFit at the time, so I just continued to train how I normally would have with or without the show. So my body was relatively the same going in there.
And that's actually a good transition into our next question. So thanks, Brent, for that one. Samantha wants to know what you do to keep your deadlift form so on point.
Thank you, Samantha, for noticing. No, I have been powerlifting, so deadlift, squat, and bench since I was 16 years old. So it's just been years of repetitions and practicing over and over again. And the gym that I currently go to, the owner of the CrossFit gym, was a powerlifter himself. So he's very big on powerlifting form and drilling it into us constantly. So I feel like it's just a mixture between good coaching and then on top of that, like multiple repetitions, you know, over and over again to practice it.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Cool. Did you want to jump in there, KP, with something?
Yeah, well, I was going to reemphasize what she's saying about, you know, having somebody check your form if you're not really in tune to what to look for. Because, you know, when you talk about deadlifts, you're talking about so many parts of the body that can be injured if you do it incorrectly. And, you know, kudos to Sam for wanting to even attempt that, where she's getting, like, really good gains on it. And I really love the way Melinda said that, because it is so vital. It is so very vital when you're talking about that kind of movement and addressing it correctly. So it's not something you can miss and screw up and then basically fix it the next day, because you're going to be in so much pain that you might have to take a couple of weeks out to gym.
Oh, I've pulled my back out before. So you learn from screwing up, too. I mean, nothing's perfect all the time. Like, when you're pushing weight, you're pushing that one rep max, you know. I hate it when people post one rep max videos online and people start critiquing them. You know, when you're going for a one rep max, it's not going to look perfect, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to be stupid. So, I mean, I've had those moments where I'm like, you know, clearly my form's starting to fall apart, but, you know, I'm going to push it anyway. And then you learn from, you know, basically being an idiot. But
this is real talk. This is real talk.
There you have it. It's not always pretty. But this is good. This is good, because powerlifting is where you've been spending a great deal of your time as of late. And I know we've talked about this a little bit, that you are a powerlifter, but I don't think we've ever really heard your full story on how you transitioned into that sport and then just kind of your journey, because as with all things, you've progressed through this scene pretty quickly yourself, and I know you've got some CrossFit things coming up too. So can we just take a step back and let's talk about how you got into powerlifting and what you've been up to?
Yeah, so I obviously was bodybuilding for a while, and even when I was bodybuilding and a couple weeks out from a show, I'd still be trying to, like, push certain weights at the gym, and found myself really enjoying seeing that progress. And I had started signing up and getting into CrossFit kind of towards the end of my last year of bodybuilding, and really, like, just again seeing that progression and seeing things go in the positive direction. And I've always been relatively strong for my size, and some of it's, you know, hard work, and like everything, some of it is genetics. I am the type of person who looks at a dumbbell and I put muscle on. It's just how my body is. It's just how it is. So I ended up just really focusing on the power lift, getting stronger, and then realizing, oh, there's some powerlifting competitions in my area. I'm just going to sign up for one, literally just to give it a shot, not because I thought I was going to win or I had been specifically training for one, just what the hell, why not give it a shot, because I'm this, that kind of person that would just try it, easily tucked into athletic things. So went to my first powerlifting meet, did very well, signed up for another one, did very well. In each show, my numbers kept getting better, so I'm like, oh, this is really fun. I'm improving at this. And I just kept going with it, and that ended up with me going to nationals last year. So it progressed really fast, but it's something that I enjoy, and I also really like the aspect of it that there's no politics in it, and I'm sure that can be argued with someone that might have had a different experience in a certain show, but you go in, and your numbers are your numbers, and if you hit your list and they're better than the other people in your weight class, then you win. If you don't, then you lose. There's no in-between. There's no politics like there are in a lot of other sporting events. It's very cut and dry, and the only one to blame at the end of the day is yourself, and I kind of like that, because you go in knowing that the outcome is going to be what you put into it, versus you can pour your heart and soul into something, and then one judge can feel differently than the other judge, and then you end up losing, and that kind of sucks sometimes. So I like that aspect of powerlifting as well.
Okay, well, that's going to bring about two questions for me, because the one I have to ask is one that I've always, especially as a coach, getting somebody ready for a show, is I prep for the criteria that's being asked. And a lot of times, and I was just talking to a former client about in the past where the criteria was set 1 year, changed a month before the show was expected, and then, you know, it was basically Katie barred the door because the criteria had changed to such a point that it left the competitor out of the top five, even though the criteria was correct. It had been basically given out at such a late stage that no one was prepared for the adjustment. Now, is that the kind of politics you're talking, where it's just not given, and it does look like it's funneled more for a person that's closer to that organization and would be made aware of that sooner?
Yes. and I hate to always sound like I'm talking negatively about bodybuilding, because I really enjoyed the sport when I was doing it, and I'm still tied to it and follow it, and I might get on stage one day again. So it's definitely, for me overall, bodybuilding was a positive experience, and I met a lot of cool people and a lot of awesome judges, a lot of awesome promoters. I mean, it definitely wasn't a negative for me. But one thing that was negative at some times was the judging being different than the criteria that was set forth, as you stated, and just some other politics that I feel at times were put into play. And I'm not saying that specifically with me, just what I've seen in general. So it can be very frustrating for, I guess, I know you're going to have people say, well, you prep for a show, you go into a show for yourself, you know. You're not going there to place. You're going there to say you did it. It's about the journey, and that's absolutely true. But I don't know who can say that when you pour your heart and soul into something and you're prepping for however long that you don't want to win. I mean, you're people that enter the sport, they're competitive. They want to do well. So to then not do well, but not do well because other people are just better, but to not do well because it might have been a criteria issue or a judging issue or other things that may have come into play, that can be very frustrating for someone that spent a lot of time and money on this.
Yes, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, because I know that there's no better devastation to be had than finding out that you've been had, if that makes sense. I'll go on to the next one, and basically to let Sarah know that we weren't overlooking her question, but since you've already touched on it, she wants to know if you ever plan to compete in bodybuilding again, and it sounds like it's some time off.
Yeah, I am taking some time off to continue doing what I'm currently doing with powerlifting and possibly some other things. It's there may be a time, and I feel like I'll just, no. You know, I tend to shift things that I'm doing. You know, I was running half marathons, and then all of a sudden I switched to Spartan races, and all of a sudden I'm on stage at a show, and then all of a sudden I left that and started doing CrossFit and powerlifting. And I kind of just transitioned into things that I wanted to follow because it was fun for me, and these are hobbies. This isn't my life. I don't make a lot of money off of these things. This is something I do in my free time as fun. I have a full-time job. So when something becomes not fun anymore, there's no point in doing it, because this is my free time I'm talking about here. So I kind of just know when it's time to transition into things. So there may be a time where I say, you know what, I want to get back on the stage, and I'll absolutely do it. It's not out of the question. It's just not the right time as of right now for that.
And I'm totally agreeing with you on that if it no longer is fun, then move on to something else. There's always adventure out there, so find out what it is and go after it. So question for me, stepping back to the powerlifting scene, what is a competition, I mean, like, I mean, roll me through, you're getting ready to go up to compete, what are the steps that happen?
So, obviously, you sign up for a weight class. Weight classes range from, it's all in kilograms, so 52 is usually the lightest, that people sign up for. There are weight classes below that, usually not a lot of competitors there, 52, 57, 63, 72, so it keeps going up. So you sign up for a weight class. You get there that day. USAPL, which is one of the largest powerlifting organizations in the world, they also the IPF, so it's both, it's world and United States. They do two-hour weigh-ins. So you go 2 hours before you start competing and you have to hit your body weight. If you do not hit your body weight, they boost you up to the next level, which isn't good. So you hit your body weight, then, of course, eat. You start warming up. And competition always runs squat is first, bench is second, deadlift is last. There's a warm-up area. You lift in according to your weight classes and in sections and based on how many competitors are there. So you have to declare your opening attempts for each lift, so your opening squat, your opening bench, your opening deadlift, before the show starts, or the competition starts. And then after you, if you hit that weight, or even if you don't hit that weight and you fail it, you're welcome to still up your weight. You check in with the judging table, you tell them what your next weight is going to be, and you lift three times per lift, so three squats, three bench, three deadlifts. You have a total at the end. Everything's in kilograms all the time, so a lot of converting for me especially. And the best person in the weight class wins. They also have the overall lifter. First, I finally won one. It's been hopefully a long time coming because I've always been like second place or third place. But the overall lifter is based on your Wilk score. So you have girls that are lifting from 100-pound girls all the way up to 200-plus-pound girls. But what a Wilk score is it's a percentage of your body weight and the weight you lifted. You could have a 200-pound girl that's going to deadlift 450 pounds, which is great, but what about when a 113-pound girl can deadlift 300 pounds? So you have to it takes into effect the percentage of what you're lifting based on your body weight, and then they do for all winner as well. So that's basically it. Quick rundown to not get too boring.
Which is good. So, because several of us, myself included, so I say us, have yet to be to a powerlifting meet. I've seen plenty of videos, but I haven't experienced one live. It's just something that's starting to become more popular local, so we're starting to see more of those shows here in the Des Moines, Iowa area more frequently, but it's still very far and few in between, so definitely want to check that out. So Tom wants to know if the weight classes are like boxing and MMA. So basically you make weight so you can compete, and then once the competition is over, you just blow up. That kind of sounds like bodybuilding too for some people.
It sounds like bodybuilding.
Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. Not for me personally. I don't know how other girls do things. So a lot of national level powerlifters do not compete in a ton of local shows. I would not consider myself a national level powerlifter, even though I've been to nationals before. So some of those, a lot of those girls will train over their weight class, and then they'll drop weight specifically for maybe two shows a year because, again, they're national level. So doing a bunch of local shows wouldn't make much sense for them because they're going to smoke everybody. I wouldn't say they blow up per se, but they do put on some weight to train at a higher weight and then cut for their shows. Me specifically, I stay generally completely under my weight class, so that I don't have to cut weight. That's just how I feel comfortable. And it's also a body image thing. I feel comfortable being at the weight I'm at. I don't want to put on 6-7 pounds and then cut it down because I've been able to make progress at the weight I'm at. So I don't see the point of that for myself personally. But I guess it's up to that person's trainer and what they're doing. But it's definitely not like bodybuilding. You'll see, especially I'm just coming from a female perspective. You'll see females like put on 20, 30 pounds post show. And I don't see that as much with females in powerlifting as I do with bodybuilding, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, KP.
Well, also you got to consider the fact that, you know, I don't think anybody that really cares about the person they're helping really wants to see that massive weight gain and weight loss, because it's incredibly hard on a human body. And I think we, a lot of times in order to compete, we sometimes overlook that when we think about the health process and how you're going to basically interact with society, because that's an extreme amount of weight. When you, I mean, cause, you know, people think, because they see it, that, oh, it must be normal. And it's not. It's the furthest thing from it. And I think sometimes we hear people bragging about things that anybody that's been in the profession long enough will be having alarms going off when they hear it instead of a celebratory tone.
Yeah, I agree. I never thought it was healthy even in the bodybuilding industry unless there's a specific goal that would require you to put on that type of weight. I don't see it necessary, and I do see it a lot less. I see girls keeping themselves within 5 pounds usually, maybe 10 for a larger girl in the powerlifting world. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not an expert powerlifter here, but at least in the local shows and even at nationals, I saw a lot of girls I follow through Instagram and stuff, and they drop minimal weight to get there. So.
And I would think it would just make things so much easier. I mean, from a consistency standpoint, energy standpoint, strength standpoint, I mean, if you don't have that big flux in your weight and, you know, energy coming in and going out, it would just have to make it that much easier to go in and stay strong. I mean, because at this point, it's not about being lean as much as it is how strong you are at a given weight.
Right, and if I put on 20 pounds, my weights are going to increase, but that's not going to give me an accurate representation of what I'm going to hit in the meet 20 pounds less. You know, so it doesn't really make sense to gain a substantial amount of weight because it's going to throw everything off. Again, I'm speaking from like what I know of powerlifting. There may be people out there that are like, she's completely wrong, but to me, it doesn't make sense unless your goal is to jump a weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would make perfect sense. But
so, well, and then shifting gears a little bit more here. Sorry, so we're trying to get all of these in, but several of our listeners are shocked because they also understand that you do CrossFit, and so far it looks like that you've pretty much been injury free throughout all of this. You know, do you find that it's just because of your particular training style, or are you seeing things in CrossFit change? Because, you know, it typically does have a reputation for churning out a high injury rate for those who are highly active in the sport.
That is because those people, they're not being coached correctly. And that's not for everyone. There's injuries that could happen at any time. So, absolutely. But the misrepresentation of CrossFit causing all these injuries, I would say, is a false one. People get injured because they're either being stupid, they're pushing themselves to a level of stuff like, let me jump on the bar and try a muscle up. Well, you don't have them. Why would you do that? You're being stupid and having a coach not teach the basics from the beginning. If someone can't snatch even 65 pounds, you should have them on a PVC pipe practicing before they jump into throwing crazy weight above their head just because they want to look awesome. I mean, there's a lot of things that cross, a lot of perceptions of CrossFit that I feel are definitely not true, and that is definitely one of them. I come from a gym that I went in there. Obviously, I was strong when I went in there. I had very good pull-ups. I had a very strong power lift. I had a lot of things, but there'd be times where the coach of the gym would say, you're lifting with the bar today. Your form isn't that good on your clean. You're lifting with the bar, and that's it. You're not putting any weight on until I see that form is good enough to progress with your weight. So
Yeah. There's
when smart coaching is in a CrossFit gym, you're not going to see that high rate of injuries. And, again, you're going to hurt yourself. People are going to hurt themselves just because it happens. You're putting yourself out there. You're being athletic. You're doing things. You're pushing yourself. Things are going to happen. But if you have good coaching and you're smart about things, there's a whole lot less injuries to come. I've pulled my back out of things that I probably would have done whether I was doing CrossFit or not. Just because, you know, your form's not going to be perfect 100% of the time. You're going to make mistakes. You're human. But I have been relatively injury-free with a couple of back pulls, and I think that is due to having good coaching at the gym that I go to, and having people care and really watch what you're doing. I think that makes a huge difference. CrossFit is not as crazy as it seems. And I do train and all the crazy stuff that you see the people doing at the games. While I may not do it as well as them, for sure, I'm still practicing the same things in the gym. So we're all doing the same things. Again, it just comes down to good coaching, I think.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback that, because that was one of my biggest reservations, was because, you know, just like with anything, like you said, there's plenty of things that we do on our own, even though we're taught better. And it just seemed with CrossFit, because it was so new, that people were just more than willing to take extra and unnecessary risk, and they were blaming it on the CrossFit. And I'm guilty of falling into that, because I said, well, then I'm kind of wary about CrossFit, because it was just so many injuries related to it, especially in my area. People were going down almost daily. And, you know, it's like, oh, hurt myself doing CrossFit. And I'm thinking, wow, how can people be so outspoken about this when we're seeing the injury rate so high?
Yeah. It's there, and it can happen to anyone. You're doing a lot of you're mixing heavy lifting with gymnastics movements. You're doing things, I mean, handstand push-ups, muscle ups. Those aren't things you normally see people doing in a standard gym. So you are doing things, but if you have good coaching and you know you have to know your own limits. If something hurts, stop. If something doesn't feel right, don't do it. I mean, you can't let your ego get in the way when you're training,
yeah,
which is easy to say because it's happened to all of us. But if you don't let your ego get in the way and you stop when something doesn't feel right, there's a whole lot less chance of injury. But you tend to get really into something and push yourself, and that's usually when injuries happen. But I would say that I think it's coming around. I think people are – the bad rap that CrossFit has, it might be going in more of a positive direction as time moves on, but I could be wrong. Maybe I just want to believe that. I don't know.
So what do you have going? What do you have planned in the future on the CrossFit front?
Not anything too crazy. I do train CrossFit powerlifting. I do as my accessory work after CrossFit class, and I compete at local competitions. I'm currently doing my second CrossFit Opens, which, if people don't know what the CrossFit Opens are, it's 5 weeks. One workout is released per week in the entire world. Everyone that does CrossFit, if you sign up for the Opens, you do this workout, someone judges you, and you submit your score. And it's like on a global level, which is really cool, because there's people that do the scaled version of the workout, which is a scaled down version for people that may not have certain movements or be able to lift a certain amount of weight yet. And then there's the RX Opens, which is the prescribed workout as it is announced. So it's really cool to see where you fall within your state, where you fall within your region, where you fall nationally against all these other people that do CrossFit. So it's a good way to measure kind of where you are and then try to improve yourself year to year. So this is my second year doing it right now, and it's always a fun time.
Well, it sounds exciting. Any particular goals going into your upcoming competition, or it's just, you know, better than the last one?
For the CrossFit Opens last year for females, I think I was 22nd in New Hampshire out of about between 400 and 500 women that signed up in New Hampshire. And then I was high 600s out of like something like 13,000 in the Northeast region last year. So this year I hope to be better than that. I don't know if that's going to happen. There's different people that live here. There's different workouts. But just seeing some sort of an improvement would be great. I'm only in the second week, so I think I'm like 29th in New Hampshire out of about 500 or 600 women and I think I'm like 600 something in the region. So that can totally change in the next three workouts. I had no idea. So it's a goal, but it may happen, it may not happen, but either way, it's been fun so far.
Well, that's pretty darn exciting to me. So I think that's awesome that you're moving up in the ranks. I couldn't even imagine. Yeah, darn tootin'. So, well, good luck with that. I know we're going to see those numbers continue to improve. So I can't wait to see what you're going to do over the next couple of weeks. But with that, we're starting to run out of time, and I want to make sure that you have the time to tell us what's going on with Melinda Fit Talk, or Fit Talk with Melinda, if I can get that out right. And who do you have on your radar as guests for upcoming shows?
So for the first time ever, because I'm a super organizational freak, and I usually have things laid out for months. For the first time ever, I don't have my next show planned yet, and that's because I am waiting until the CrossFit Opens ends, and I want to get a group of people on that placed pretty well within the region or within the state of New Hampshire to kind of talk about the Opens and what they're going to do to prepare for regionals. So I can't do that yet because I don't know who's going to place and who I can get a hold of and who's willing to kind of let it all out there and talk to me about it. So that is going to be most likely my next show, pending it all goes well. But I kind of have to wait to see what happens before I go there. And then from there, I'm going to start planning my shows out ahead of time. I think I'm going to do – I like to switch it up here or there. I'm going to try to get on a very well-known nationally ranked female powerlifter on the show soon, probably in April. And that's all I know for now. But for the first time, I don't have it planned, and I don't know who the guest is going to be. But we're going to see how everyone places first.
That's okay. Sometimes Kaylin and I have those moments, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I can.
Ooh.
Sometimes our shows don't even start on time because we can't.
It happens.
Ooh, it's always an adventure, but we wouldn't trade it for the world. We love live radio, folks. We love it. We love it. We love it, including barking dogs and all. And Dale, I am going to get to your question, but before we do that, Melinda, I have a very important question for you.
Yes.
Very important, of the utmost importance. P for P whey protein. What is your favorite flavor?
Oh.
Snickerdoodle.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's the best flavor.
Oh,
yes,
I know. You know what? You're
yes,
killing me. I have to admit, though, I have finally tried it, and I can say this with all honesty. It is a good flavor, but chocolate
no.
is still my favorite.
No, it is the best.
It is.
It is
no,
the best.
I tried Snickerdoodle honestly, and no, I would not. It would come in as a close second, maybe. But you know, even so, I like
sandwich.
Kit batter too. Yeah, ice cream sandwich is good. Yes.
Yeah, Snickerdoodle
cake batter.
Ice sandwich, cake batter. Cinnamon roll was good. Cinnamon roll was good, and then they had like the Girl Scouts the mint chip one, like the Girl Scout cookie. That was good. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
I like every flavor.
I never had
tried.
That
I can
one.
Hardly ever say that. It was good.
Well,
yeah.
I would say the pumpkin spice, never again, and the lemon lime chain reaction, ever, never, ever.
Oh,
will I
yeah,
do that again.
No, the lemon chain reaction, no. I'm sorry, P for P boys, but no, that one was bad. It took me,
it should have been lemon
lime
now.
I was mixing that with everything possible just to get it down because I was like, darn it, I spent
I
money on this, so I'm not going to waste it.
Flavor.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, it
oh,
happens.
Shoot. So,
you know,
anyway.
It's always a mistake.
Yeah. Well, they can admit it.
Awesome. They can, you know, it's okay because they've had enough successes that the few, you know, that weren't as well received,
hiccups.
We can overlook those. We can overlook those.
Yeah, we'll call them.
But
sneeze.
But I can't say I haven't had a protein flavor that I didn't like.
Me either.
From P for
nope.
P, but Chocolate is still my favorite. It just is. Before I was saying that without having tried Snickerdoodle, but now I know. But folks, Snickerdoodle is still good. I'm not saying it's not.
Oh,
but
it is.
We all have our preferences.
Samuel L. Jackson tweet.
You might have to get it. You might have to get it out and post it. You might have to do that.
I can't read it on air.
No, well, if you can't read it on air, you better not post it either then. So, okay, TikTok with Melinda. Where do people find out more about you, about your show?
More about the show? That's
yes.
I do most of my postings about all of my shows through my social media. Instagram is obviously not the best venue for that, but on both my
Facebook, it doesn't work well at all.
No, it doesn't, because the links and everything. But on my regular Facebook page and my Facebook fan page, I have an album on each of those that's labeled Fit Talk, and every show I've ever done has the promotional little banner that I do with the show, with the description of the show and the link to the show. So every show I've ever done is in those albums. I kind of like to keep them together. And as far as the show itself, like I said, it's kind of like me. I kind of do a little of everything. I kind of like to dip my feet into everything. So people that I've had on the show range from talks about powerlifting, CrossFit, bodybuilding, to how to pick a photographer. We just did a show on breast augmentation, which is what a lot of bodybuilders, female bodybuilders, are doing. So that was an important topic. We've done shows on healthy eating and the psychology behind eating. And so it's been a little of everything. Everything always links to something in the athletic world. But like
yes.
I said, you only live once. So there's something out there for everyone, whether that be running or lifting or whatever, swimming or whatever you might be into. So I kind of like to pick from all walks of the athletic life and get people on the show. So it's really a range of a whole hell of a lot of topics, but everything I've ever done are on those albums on my Facebook page.
Okay. One last thing, since the Arnold just passed and we did our live show at the B-Dubs the last year, do you still miss that atmosphere? Because, you know, the people that heard it said we sounded so excited, and then all of a sudden we were yelling. And, you know, granted, the show was
we were yelling.
Yeah, we were basically talking and over people, but we really were that excited. And, I've shared how I felt about it with the listeners over and over, and I don't want them to think that it just came from just me with this idea or ideology of that it had to work, because no one went in there with that thinking, because that was the first time ever. Could you let the listeners know how you felt from that perspective?
Yeah, it was the first time that we had all been in the same room together. We had all just met other people, and I had met the owners and everything, but it's the first time we all kind of got together and went out there with the same purpose, and we had no idea how it was going to be. We had to work in the small-ass booth together on top of each other, and you never know how things are going to be with people that you haven't met before. But everyone came together for the purpose of P4P and getting the brand out there. And, you know, being at the Arnold's with a whole lot of and again, I say this as not judging, I'm totally okay with it, but non-natural athletes, and going in there and promoting natural supplements and the natural lifestyle. We had no idea how that was going to go because of the audience that was going to be there, and it worked phenomenally. Like we said, our booth, the line was down the aisle. Like we definitely ran our aisle. So it was good getting to meet everyone. It was an exciting experience. It was exciting to see how the public received us and that we all, you know, got along so well. And again, you're talking about people from all over the United States, all different ages, races, walks of life, family, you know, everything. And everyone just came together for one purpose, and it worked out really well. And it was exciting. So I hope it's an opportunity that we can have in the future to go back and kind of recreate that.
Yes.
That would be awesome. I know JB has, well, JB always has plans. He is never at a loss for plans. JB meeting Joseph Bolton, one of the founders of P4P Muscle. But I know he has talked about wanting to get back there again at some point. They just have had so many things going on this year. They couldn't get it all in, but hopefully we will see that. We'll see that coming up again. So we are almost out of time. I know we have one question that's still out there. Dale wants to know who has the dog and what kind of dog was it? So my apologies, guys, that you've heard my little miniature dash hound. That's it. That's been highly active tonight. I don't know what she's got going on, but evidently she's been excited. Her name is Smalls, and she's all black, a little mini. Smalls, yeah, she was named after the character in the movie Sandlot. She was the runt of her litter, and now she's a really fat little leader dog. She's affectionately called the Snossage.
Do you use that line when you're talking to her?
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do, literally. Dash hounds, love them. They are a stubborn, stubborn breed. We go round sometimes, but she's a good dog. She's a lover, and she's small, so she's a little yapper. So my apologies that you guys could hear all of that. I thought I was in a pretty, you know, sound, secure room, but evidently not. So anyway, my dog, my yapper, that's the story. Well, Dale, we'll call him Dale Eagle Ear, did hear him. So apologies to anyone who may have been irritated by that. But hey, you know, that's what I had going on tonight. So, anywho's it, Thursday coming up, we are going to have a judge on the show. We did a little bit of talking about judging tonight. We've talked about judging in several other shows, so we're going to have the chance to actually get the perspective from one. Her name is Medina Roberts. She's been highly active in the OCB and has judged several organizations, so we're going to have her on Thursday. You guys are going to want to tune in. Do send your questions, and it's going to be another great show. Melinda, thanks for joining us tonight, and
thank you.
Enlightening us all on reality shows and powerlifting and OCR racing and CrossFit and all of that good kind of stuff. Actually, we didn't get into the Spartan part of it, but we'll have to do that the next time around.
We can do another one. We can do another one on that. That's like a whole nother show in itself.
Okay, cool.
No, we should have you and David on the show at the same time to talk about OCR. That would probably be too wild.
Yeah, that would be crazy. He's probably that would be a good show. Maybe I have you guys on my show and we do that show next time.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe we can do that.
I've
had you all on my. Let's do it. Okay, I'll
we'll
set that
to
up
do that. I only have one little OCR to my name. That's when I did Tough Mudder. Kevin.
That's okay.
Kaylin, have you done any obstacle races?
I used to do them in the military basically every week just to stay in tip-top
shape. Boot camp? Yeah.
No. This was after boot camp. This was basically it's like a decathlon, I guess the best way to say it. Not a pentathlon, but a decathlon. And you basically get, like, time off from extracurricular duties if you basically sustain yourself doing that kind of work. So, yeah, it was inspirational, motivational. And, yeah, I liked finishing first place. Yeah.
Awesome. So look at that. Something new we all learned about Kaylin tonight. Maybe you guys knew that. I did not know that. So there you go, Melinda.
That.
So whenever your calendar frees up, I guess you've got a show right there. Book us.
Oh, my calendar. Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. There you go. That's going to be my next show, guys. We figured
there you
out.
Go.
Perfect.
There you go.
Bring it.
There you go. Yeah, we are ready. Right. So, on behalf of Melinda, myself, Kaylin, Snickerdoodle shout out, we can't forget.
Snickerdoodle is Snickerdoodle, even for Melinda.
And on behalf of the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.
With Snickerdoodle.